Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
No, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm gonna fuck your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hey fuckers, how you doing? Welcome to a bonus episode of Guys We Fuck.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast brought to you exclusively by Luminary Media. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson. We're recording this early Thursday before it gets released, so we're not gonna comment on, we asked our associate producer Emily if she could just gather emails of sex stories, sex questions that were out there, interesting, funny,
silly,
weird,
ridiculous,
crazy,
stupid, yeah, gross.
Just to have an episode that is just for that. But our activism still stands, but hopefully this can possibly be a respite right now.
Because you should be active, you should be talking, you should be doing stuff.
Marching,
but also,
if you can.
Be so you don't go crazy and, you know, lash out on people on social media,
yeah,
or wake up in the middle of the night with an anxiety attack from mm-hmm. watching police brutality videos all weekend like
yeah.
I did last night.
Yeah.
You need to do something funny and silly and turn off your phone and turn off the news and get some sunshine and walk your dog and do like the regular things, because you need to be in good working order in order to help people correctly.
Yes. And no matter who you are, where you live, where you're from, everybody has a relationship to their own sexuality, be it they don't want to have sex, they love sex so much they can't get sex. Me, I don't know. You're just masturbating all weekend because you're not sure what else to do. There's a lot of other stuff you could do. Hopefully you're Googling as well as masturbating. But let's focus on sex stuff for this bonus episode. Would you like to read the first email? Would you like me to read the first email?
You can go ahead.
Okay, the subject line of email numero uno is, I can only squirt when I pee, but I want to squirt on someone's face. Hey, Christina and Corinne, I fucking love you too, and I would not be the same proud pansexual slut that I am without listening to you for 6 years. Oh, shit, you're an OG listener. Thank you for always being completely and utterly all of yourselves and never apologizing for it or putting on a filter. You have been there for me while being closeted in high school, to coming out, to having my queer awakening, to finding my true self, and everything in between. I know you don't know me, but I feel like you two are just close girlfriends who have supported me throughout a lot of stuff in my life. I hope I can meet you one day.
Oh, me too.
All right, let's continue to her email. Okay, so let's get to it. Let's. I have never squirted during sex and really want to. It is a huge fantasy of mine to squirt on someone's face. Mostly because one time a girl squirted on my face and I was in literal gay heaven. It was amazing and I want to be able to do that. I've done my diligent research on the subject and from my understanding, it's a different type of orgasm in which some kind of bodily fluid squirts out, some of which could possibly be pee. I've tried different techniques with sex partners, masturbation, and nothing has worked, but I notice that every time I masturbate, I have an orgasm, and then a few minutes later, I have to go pee. That happens to me too. Then I notice that when I pee afterwards, it feels good, like really good. Ooh, that hasn't happened to me. So I tried to tap into my body a little more to figure out what's going on and how my body works. So lately, whenever I go pee, even if I don't masturbate before, right as I'm almost done peeing, and when my muscles are completely relaxed, it starts to feel really good, and sometimes I will have a full-on squirt orgasm into the toilet. What? It feels amazing, but I don't want to squirt into the toilet. I want to squirt on someone's face. You tell it, girl. The only way I can think of how to squirt during sex is if I try piss play, but that doesn't particularly interest me or turn me on. I feel like in order for me to squirt, my sphincter muscles need to be completely relaxed, which only happens when I pee. So you see my dilemma. Can you please give me advice to help me squirt on someone's face? A very loyal fucker. That's a great question. It's a great question. I have squirted with my long-term partner of 7 years, my ex, and he had dated, I don't know if I told you guys this, but he dated a porn star right before me. And so she taught him some things. And then he did it to me because we were having the, he was basically telling me anybody can squirt. I'm like, well, I haven't. So let's figure that out. And it happened very quickly. And he basically, there was a lot of, for me, I need, and the writer mentioned this, her sphincter muscles and everything in her body is very relaxed before she squirts into the toilet, which good on you for figuring that out, boo-boo. But being relaxed and in your body is key. So for me personally, I like really slow, long, drawn out foreplay. And then for me to personally squirt, my ex had put one finger up, then two, then three, and then pretty much a fist almost. And he made the come hither motion in my cervix towards my belly button. And I'm reading this article from BBC UK. It is called, just in case for reference, every question you've ever had about female ejaculation answered. Isn't it funny how we don't know that much? But the military will give you Viagra if you just raise your hand. Many women, and this is a quote from the article, many women who do ejaculate say that what gets them there is stimulating the G-spot, an area about 5 to 8 centimeters inside the vagina. It's on the front wall, so towards your belly button, not your back, and sometimes feels slightly rougher or more textured than the surrounding flesh. Rather than existing as a discrete anatomical structure in itself, the G-spot is now widely considered to be more of a zone through which the Skene's glands, S-K-E-N-E, I've never heard that word, go look that up later, may be massaged, along with internal hidden parts of the clitoris. And this we now know to be like an iceberg. The hood of and head you can see on the outside of the body are merely the tip of a much bigger organ that extends downwards into the vaginal passage. This is a quote from somebody. I get my partner to rub my G-spot with their fingers using the come hither motion and firm pressure, says Saffron 34. Specially angled sex toys make it easier for me to achieve that same effect alone. If I carry on using my vibrator after I've climaxed, that can make me squirt, reveals Daphne, 23. It's an intense, almost overwhelming sensation, though. I have to push through what feels like an urge to urinate. But after that, I love how primal and freeing it feels to have the mad nectar fly from my nunu. All right, you just say vagina, but okay, whatever. You say whatever. And then there's a section. Oh, right. So is there pressure on women to perform squirty tricks? Squirty tricks. I love that. Adult actresses themselves report that there's growing demand for them to be able to ejaculate. Sylvia Sage has worked in porn for 4 years and says it's increasingly being asked for. A woman's career can take a financial upswing if she manages to squirt. I don't get hired for jobs specifically featuring this act because it's not something I can guarantee will happen in my body. Other performers who similarly can't be sure they'll squirt on cue fake it by drinking lots of urine. Well, that's not what you want to do. That's not the reason you want to do it.
What are they drinking though?
Lots of water.
Oh, I thought you say lots of urine. I was like, what?
Yeah, they drink their own pee and eat their own shit and then they squirt. It's magic. So basically, I think one of the things for the writer to be able to squirt on somebody's face is really having a sense of trust with this person so that, yes, your sphincter muscles can relax, but your heart and head muscles can also relax. So I think really experimenting with long, drawn-out foreplay is a suggestion that I would like to put out there because it is true. Squirting feels like it's so funny to me because When I masturbate, I don't squirt. I mean, I don't. Actually, there was one sexual partner I had since my ex that had made me squirt. No, two. That three-way with that porn star. Oh, boy. Never forget that. I squirted. And we were all three of us were like, whoa. So the come hither motion with the fingers is definitely key. But I think for you, writer, and for a lot of women, one of the keys is feeling completely relaxed and uninhibited. So I would say practice, practice, practice. That's how you get to Carnegie Hall, and that's how you're going to get to squirt on a lady's face. So practice being comfortable and just breathing, and also practice maybe foreplay without the goal of an orgasm, because that tends to take a lot of pressure off, because I feel like women's orgasms have so much to do with what's going on mentally, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually.
The only thing is, though, for squirting, because I know, like, a lot of people say that everyone can skirt.
Everyone skirt.
But I'm in I mean, not that Essence magazine is, like, a medical document, but the writer for this article says every woman can't learn how to do it. Either you have what we call an ejaculation or squirting gland, or you don't.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, why is there so much conflicting information about female anatomy?
It's written by a doctor, Jessica Shepherd, MD.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, because it was ask a gynecologist, can every woman squirt?
Squirt.
Squirt.
Can everyone squirt? Everyone can squirt, but not everyone can squirt, possibly.
Oh, my God. Wait. I want to see that, because I'm just thing is, I mean, I've never squirted, and I've had some pretty, like.
Have you had sexual partners that have made women squirt in the past, and then they tried those, you know, the similar tactics on you?
I've actually never discussed that because, like, I don't like hearing. Like, I just don't know that much about past sexual partners, because, okay, like, that doesn't turn me on, and no one's offered it, nor have I ever asked someone to make me squirt, because right. It's not like something like I'm particularly looking to do. Like, I'd be fine with it, but I'm never, like, it's never been the goal.
Yeah,
but, like, kind of like with fingering and G-spots and, like, and all that kind of stuff, like, I've had some people, like, do some pretty great and high level work down there.
Yeah.
So I feel like if it was going to happen, it would have happened.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know. It is interesting to me how a squirting orgasm just feels like truly a atmospheric release. It is so different. It's such a different feeling than a clitoral orgasm for me. It just feels like I want to squirt right now. I could fucking use that. Oh, man. So we can all use some squirts.
It's like a psychedelic sexual experience.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, yeah. I don't hallucinate. However, you feel like out of your body and in your body at the same time. It just feels like this amount of relaxation. Like, and we've talked about this before. Like, when your sexual partner that you know and trust and you've been tested and all of that stuff, comes in you or mm-hmm. raw dogs you.
Yeah.
There's probably a more romantic way to say that. But, puts his penis in you raw. It's just a different feeling. It's just mm-hmm. it moves mountains in a different way. I mean, sex moves mountains. God, I haven't had sex in so long.
Well, because that's like a connect. Like, that's to me, like, the connection, like skin on skin contact is a real right. thing. So, you know, and that's why I never like to lie on this podcast, just because it is like the safer option
right.
To have sex with a condom. Obviously, like, it's not so good that it's worth getting yourself an STI or pregnant.
Yeah.
That being said, anyone who says that sex with a condom is just as good as without is a fucking liar.
I love sex, and yes. I will take it with a condom, especially if I've never had sex with you. We have to work on it. But, you know, it's still great. God, I would take a condom dick over no dick.
And leaves room for improvement, too. If you start with a condom, it's only going to get better.
Yeah, as long as they're not racist. Guys, let's stop fucking racist people. Maybe
sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you don't know until so many fucks in. You know?
True, man. True.
Subject line: I threw up on my boyfriend's dick.
Haven't we all?
God. And so, yeah, like, I've never had a boyfriend or a partner tell me about making a girl squirt, but goddamn, I've had a lot of boyfriends tell me that girls threw up on their dicks.
Ooh, tell me more, daddy.
And I was like, I'm looking at it. There's no need to throw up. It's not that.
But when you're hungover and you give a blowjob and you're like, and you're a little nauseous.
Who gives a hungover blowjob?
I've done it.
You're giving too much.
It was a long time ago.
That's fucking, oh my God.
I love penises in my mouth. When it's attached to somebody I have feelings for.
Hey, Corinne and Christina, thanks for all you do, yada, yada, yada. I'll cut to the chase and let you know how I feel about you at the end. You were looking for funny sex stories to share during quarantine, so here goes. I mean, we're so past quarantine. We're in a fucking civil war.
I don't know.
About 8 years ago, when I was in my early 20s, my boyfriend and I went to visit his friends at their lake house in the Poconos. I'm from the land of Wawa, Christina.
Yeah.
After a few drinks, boyfriend and I retreated to the room in which we were staying, directly across the hall from his friend's room with their 2-year-old son.
Oh, that's no place for a kid.
We had a shared bathroom between us. Boyfriend and I started getting down and dirty. He fingered me and then I gave him a blowjob. At this point in our relationship, we had been dating for around a year, but I haven't given him too many BJs since we only saw each other on the weekends. We lived about an hour away. I like that she's like telling us, yeah, but it's like there was reasons why I didn't give him too many BJs.
Hey, you don't want to suck dick? You don't want to suck dick?
I hope the reason was because you're a smart lady. I always disliked the act, probably related to very easily motivated gag reflex and a small mouth.
Well, aren't you Miss Perfect?
My mouth's so little. Can't fit your big tiny mouth.
When I was a kid, I choked on pizza and my mom had to give me the Heimlich.
That is a small mouth.
Jesus
mouth.
Christ.
Or you were just like laughing or something.
Or you just need to chew better.
Yeah.
I also, pizza.
I've choked so much on food because I just eat it so fast I inhale it.
I also needed one of those palatable expanders. Jesus Christ.
Oh, your mouth was tight. Okay.
Oh, my God. Well, my mom was tightening it one even. Sorry to yawn during that, guys. It's been a long week. Was tightening it one evening. I accidentally swallowed the key.
Did you poop it out?
Do you just not have control of your body? What's happening, girl? I think both of these events contributed to my fear around large things in my mouth and the fear of choking again.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway, after a few drinks in me, I was cool with going down on the boyfriend. As he was about to come, I could feel my gag reflex screaming.
Uh-oh.
And then it happened. He came and I puked at the same time.
Oh, shit.
It's kind of hot if you got that on video.
He came and you puked on the same.
That's kind of like, I mean, that's a lot of fluid. Boyfriend had no idea what happened, thinking all of the liquid in my mouth came from him.
Oh, a typical man.
I went to the bathroom to spit out the grossness in my mouth. When I returned, boyfriend noticed some sort of chunks on the bedding. I had not been as clean as I thought I had. He asked me about it, and I'm pretty sure I cried of embarrassment.
Oh, girl, you can't help it.
It was horrifying. Yeah, he fucking told all his friends about it on the group text. He loved it.
My dick's so big, it made her barf, dude.
It was horrifying. I was so ashamed. He was so kind about the whole situation. And very comforting. We are now married. Oh
shit. That's a good turn.
I have a small mouth and I'm married.
Write us an email and we'll fucking troll you.
I, Chad, take this small woman mouth, small mouth woman to be my wife.
Oh God, I like how everyone in the show is Chad now.
Yeah.
Team Chad. We are now married, and since that occurrence, I have mastered the art of the hand job.
Ooh, teach me.
It's such a wonderful sexual act that is sincerely undervalued. Coconut oil lives on my nightstand and my hubby is happy to get off, not really missing BJs.
Nice. That's how you get out of BJs.
Oh, God.
Get good at Andy's.
Yeah. Or just barf on someone's dick. I could do that. I will sometimes suck him off at the end of a hand job or when we're having sex. And there's something to be said about looking each other in the eye while he fingers me and I give him a hand job. So sexy.
Ooh.
How do you do that? Because I usually sit up when I'm giving a hand job, and then your vagina.
No, if you're laying facing each other.
Oh, see, I don't lay down when I'm giving a hand job. That's like not enough working room for my wrist.
Yeah,
I don't like
I
to lie down while I'm doing stuff like that because I get bored. I'll fall asleep. I'll drift off. A hand job. There's zero in a hand job for me. I'm sorry. I have nothing in my. Yeah, there's nothing except for what's that thing when you type too much.
Carpal tunnel.
Yeah, carpal tunnel. You know, guys, type in. Anyway, thanks for all that you do. You are inspirational. Okay, I'm not going to read a bunch of compliments about us.
We're green.
I just can't. I was like, you know, I appreciate it. We'll read it privately and quietly.
Yeah. All right, next email. The subject is fucking people in your world, comedy and martial arts. Okay. Hey, ladies. Please feel free to read this email on the podcast. God, I hope you do, but please don't say my name. I won't. New fucker here. I've been listening to your episodes from the beginning and I'm a huge fan. I love what you do and your whole movement. I was listening to your episode the other day titled, Do You Guys Keep Track of Their Fucks from July 2014? Throwback. And the part about fucking other comics really resonated with me. I've been in martial arts since I was a teenager and I'm in my mid-20s now. Like I would imagine it is for comedy, the martial arts community feels tiny sometimes. It seems like everyone knows everyone. And as someone who's been around it for a full decade now, it's feeling smaller and smaller.
Like that other girl's mouth.
Within the martial arts community, I've been a student, coach, competitor, journalist, and official, referee, judge, etc. Really in every possible capacity. And as a woman in a male-dominated field, especially a young woman, I feel I definitely stand out. Again, I'm sure you ladies can relate.
Yeah, I'm young and cute.
Now, what's my point? My point is I like to fuck fighters. Me too. Where are they? There, I said it. And like you guys said in the episode, why wouldn't I want to fuck people who are in the same world as me? I spend so much time within this community. It's where I meet a lot of people and have made a lot of my lifelong friends. Fighters, like comedians, are a different breed. It takes a very specific kind of person to want to do what we do. I mean, everyone wants to fight, but yeah, few people actually do it.
I don't like to fight.
Well, I mean, I like martial arts as a art and
oh,
a fight.
Yeah.
Like I get, you know, when I say fight, I mean martial arts. And not a lot of outsiders can understand us the way we understand each other. Likewise, just how you ladies are attracted to funny men, I'm attracted to people who are good at martial arts. Also, while I don't have this hang up with women, I find it very difficult, read almost impossible, to be attracted to a man I know I could probably beat in a fight. It's like I can't fuck an unfunny person if they're trying to be funny. I like to know they could kill me with their bare hands, but they wouldn't. LMAO. Plus, there's something very primal about sparring with someone. If there's already an attraction there, it can really amp it up. Hard to explain, but it's a thing. Oh, girl, don't worry. I dated a guy who did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, borderline professionally, and we sparred, and I'll never forget it. And it was 12 years ago. So I hear you. So yeah, I've hooked up with a fair amount of people in the community, but there's such a stigma around it and I get so much judgment whenever I admit that I'm attracted to fighters. Oh, they're just jealous. Especially from fighters, even the ones I'm fucking. Like maybe just be grateful. I agree. On top of that, because the community is so small, I always worry about people talking.
They do.
Yeah. And you know, you don't have to worry about it. Especially as an official, I have to try to keep a certain amount of respect. And if people talk about me getting around the community, I might lose some of that respect. Yeah. But if people are talking about you getting around as if your value decreases because you fuck, then they're stupid. There, I said it. Anyways, I really appreciate hearing you guys talk about fucking other comics with Joe DeRosa. It made me feel a lot better about my thing for fighters. And like I have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of if people are talking. I know exactly what I'll say to them because of your podcast. You girls are the best. I love what you do. Keep doing it. Cool. Fuck fighters.
Oh my God. In that Joe DeRosa episode, that's old school.
Yeah.
Subject, I got called a fat cunt by a child.
That's awesome.
That sounds like something that would happen to me. I like yeah. it. Oh, hey, Corinne and Christine. I'm 29 hey. Years old. I've been living with my parents to save money to buy a house. Well, this bitch bought a house after 3 years living in my childhood neighborhood.
Hell yeah.
Congratulations. But I'm still here because of COVID-19. I grew up in the suburb of Denver in a picturesque neighborhood. I work at the neighborhood school and I see a lot of families from work while I frolic around the hood. I was walking my dog and I hear a car coming speeding up the street. I turned to see if it was my neighbor driving his new midlife crisis. It wasn't.
Damn.
It was a Jeep. And I see the local high school parking pass sticker on the windshield. I yell, slow down. I know I'm getting old because I did that. Yeah, 29. Crotchety.
Slow down.
But there are a lot of families in this neighborhood. This kid just needs to pay attention. The car sped by as I was yelling, but then stopped and started to turn around. So I waited. I figured he wanted to chat. What? You're gonna get shot. This cherub-faced teenager stops and goes, what's your fucking problem? I'm going 30. Do you have a radar gun? He wasn't going 30.
Yes,
and the speed limit is actually 25. I told him no, but don't tempt me with a good time. I might have to get one. Then I reminded
Ooh,
him.
Sassy retort.
Then I reminded him about the families and there are police cars setting up speeding traps in the neighborhood. I was actually looking for the kid. He looked me dead in the face and said, you're a fat cunt.
Ooh,
and
booyah.
Sped off. Well, joke's on him. I'm his little brother's teacher. I recognized his face from when my student was, quote, star student. I was able to get a hold of his mother, and she was deeply disturbed by his behavior. Good. So now, for the rest of the summer, he has to mow my parents' lawn. I saw you two last May at Comedy Works, and it was the highlight of my summer. I hope you two are doing well. Attached, I have a picture of my dog, because why not? Very cute. Alfred would love that dog. He loves fluffy dogs.
I thought this was originally going to be a story about like a child under five calling
you
a fat cunt. Me too.
Like at the edge, like when the kid at the little educare early daycare center called me a bitch, and I had to tell his mom. I had to tell his mom.
Well, how'd the mom react?
I mean, she was upset, but it seemed like she had other problems and that going on at home, and that's probably how he knew the word bitch.
Yeah,
you know. And I knew that, and she knew that, and we had a woman's understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
I just said to her, I said, listen, I don't care, but I was like, they told me I had to tell you this. So just letting you know.
How old was that kid?
Five.
Ooh. Right. Yeah, kid know that word.
Ooh, yeah.
Lightning, okay. All right, this next subject line. So there I was, alone in my apartment on mushrooms.
Did you write into the show, Christina?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing surprises me anymore.
One of these days, I gotta punk you and fucking write into the show. I can't believe I haven't thought of that already. That's hilarious
funny.
Idea.
Yeah, that's funny.
All these years, neither of us have ever fake written into our own show.
Well, because we're so concerned about social justice and sexual equality and racial equality and human equality.
We're tired. I had to stop shopping at my favorite fucking online store.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Okay.
You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Subject line, so there I was alone in my apartment on mushrooms. And the email reads, dot, 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 when suddenly it hit me. Just a brief background, I am a single 25-year-old female bartender residing in Boise, Idaho. No, I do not know anyone who lives on a potato farm. And for the record, Idaho primarily sucks, but Boise is rad. And a quick shout out to you, Christina and Corinne. Y'all have been my quarantine since the restaurant was shut down for weeks. I live on my own, and I've been binging Guys We Fucked from the beginning. What a fucking journey. Pun intended, but appreciated. I resonate with you guys so much on so many levels, both individually and as a team, and y'all have definitely played a part in me inspiring me to do stand-up. Keep on slaying, babes. Anyway, my restaurant reopened last week, so I celebrated my last day of unemployment with mushroom tea. Oh, I've heard of that. I was having an insightful trip, vibing out with my cat in my apartment to a playlist I've been building over the decades specifically for psychedelics. Girl, share that playlist with me. The day was warm, the sun was setting, and the glow was radiant. Life was good. Just when I thought it couldn't get any better, one of the most epic songs by one of my favorite bands came on, Houseboat by New Madrid. In case you were curious, I was. This is what hit me. I know this beautiful tune inside it out, and the effects of the tea really amplified all the intricate details, every layer, influx, melody, etc., plus the nostalgia connected. This song pretty much bent me over my couch and fucked the shit out of me. Oh, I had to do mushrooms again. This is not a drill. I had a multitude of musical orgasms? What? Every time the dynamics climaxed, so did I. What? Give me some of that tea. It was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. Even considering the indescribable things I have felt through seeing all kinds of live music on a variety of substances, nothing has ever been so intense. The song started. I gotta listen to this fucking song. The song started and the lighting went dim. I suddenly felt like I had been waiting for this moment all day. It made me weak. It was utterly mind-blowing. I almost cried during the big one. God damn. But seeing as hallucinogens make me smiley, I just giggled uncontrollably. I was still tingly halfway through the next song. As a multi-craft artist, I'm still trying to figure out a way to capture how crazy it felt. So here's my question. Has anything with no truly sexual connotations ever had such a powerful impact on you? You legitimately got off. It wouldn't have to be a song, or maybe you've never come to climax this way. Just something that really gets you going. I've always been very passionate about music, so this does back itself up. I won't lie, food can also have this impact on me, but to a lesser degree. Obviously, the shrooms had something to do with it, but if y'all can relate, I'd love to know. Not really.
I mean, like, I've
moved to tears and, like, truly blissful joy that seemed erotic, but it just wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I had the orgasm. I mean, this shoulder. Is like physical. I had my shoulder orgasm on LSD.
Was there really meaningful, impactful moments leading up to it that you just like?
I mean, I was having sex. That's why I was frozen. No. Like the LSD hit while I was orgasming.
Did your vagina shudder or do anything? Like, how do you have an or like, I want to know what this feels like.
Well, because it was just when I had it, so I had a regular like orgasm, but because like we basically were having sex while we were after we just dropped acid because we were waiting for it to hit, so we had sex while we were waiting, but then I came right as it was about to hit, and then it's like the the muscle spasm lived in my shoulder for the entire trip, which was not at all pleasant or erotic in any way. It was painful and scary.
Oh, damn it.
I mean, not so scary, but then, I mean, like, it's like you're on LSD and you go, oh my, like, after a certain point, you're just like, Jesus Christ. And you're like, is this going to fucking last forever? And then you're, you know, because like LSD on me lasts like 12 hours.
Jesus.
And by hour eight, you can usually go to bed, and everyone was just laughing at me. So I was like, God damn it.
You know how that one time you said your brother got a boner from watching, like, somebody suggesting
from
a movie that
he loves? Yeah, I mean, he was just a little kid.
But he was happy.
Yeah.
Right.
My poor brother's like, I wish this bitch didn't have a podcast. This story will never die.
Whatever. He's hot and smart and doing well. He's fine.
He is fine.
But I have been so blissfully happy with groups of friends. Like, and it's a lot of times I get horny in nature, but like when I'm specifically, we used to do a weekend called Lake Life with all my close friends, and we'd be in nature, and like 12 of my favorite human beings on the planet were there, and I would just be so happy that my vagina would be engorged, just like swollen. So it's like
really,
this yeah, and I've just it like I was so happy that I was horny.
I think I gotta relook at my life because that's
it's not happened often, but the times it has, I do remember it. And you know, I mean, on Lake Life weekends, we drink, we do, is it raining? It's pouring.
Yeah, it's pouring.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Do we need to move shit? Who knows?
No, it's fine. No. Not
all our towels are over the.
Oh, you want to get them?
Deck.
Yeah, it's fine.
At this point.
It'll figure itself out. We don't care.
Life is like so disheartening in many ways right now.
And that's partly why I'm excited to be doing this episode about just stuff that's just weird sex stories or interesting takes on stuff.
Yeah, it's like, remember sex? I don't, but maybe you
I don't
do.
Either.
Maybe
when was
you
last
do.
Time you had sex? It was more recently than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I did sneak out one time and had sex, but don't worry, I've been paying for it emotionally.
The pattern keeps telling me your greatest relationships will come later in life, like romantic. I'm like, I hope before I'm fucking 50.
Well, I thought you were going to say your greatest relationship is going to be with yourself.
Oh, fuck you, pattern. Fuck you.
Well, I mean, what is...
Well, I get that.
In the pattern... and also, so sometimes you guys request us on the pattern. We're never going to accept
you. I'm never
going to.
Yeah, that's
it's
too
super,
intimate.
Super
I'm sorry.
Personal.
Yeah.
It's not, like, it's
I don't
super
want you
personal.
To know that.
And that's not, it's, so just, I mean, we're not going to accept you. And like,
the only
no
people
hard feelings.
I will accept were men I fucked and my personal, very close friends.
I wouldn't accept anyone except for Christina. We already know our pattern together.
Yeah.
I don't have any friends on it. I just secretly get information and add people that I've had relationships with or people I want to have relationships with, and I look at it at night under my pillow. I'm like a little kid. I'll like put the blanket over my head like when the lights go out, and that's my little treat for myself. Be like, oh, did anything change in the stars to make this relationship align? Oh no, it's worse. Okay, perfect. 99.
Wait, let me read my what's my pattern update
99
today?
Girlfriend, my I have a lot of...
Oh, that's... I put some of the recycling outside so it would be away. It is a ruin.
Jesus Christ, it's crazy. Even Alfred looked up from his fucking pig's foot.
Oh, the patterns. Black Lives Matter. Thank you, pattern. I just logged on and said the pattern's created. I'm not going to get... Okay. There's a...
What if you open the pattern and then it was like, the cosmos say all lives matter. Oh.
And then I'd be like, cancel pattern. Bye now. Have a good day.
Astrology is canceled.
Really bummed because you were like my psychic app friend, but that's okay. Okay. I don't... Okay. Question of the day: is there something you wish you'd learned sooner? Yeah. What? Okay. Okay. A lot about unprecedented times and pattern. I know. Give me my update. I'm selfish. Nothing. Okay.
It's like you know, they woke up the first morning of like quarantine for COVID-19, and they were like, we better put something about challenging or unprecedented times in there.
Yeah.
So they think this really works. Because I opened
whatever
it up.
When they told me my ex-boyfriend of 7 years doesn't know what to do in the relationship when he doesn't feel like he could take care of me and provide, I was like, I'm sold. You sold me for the rest of my life.
Right. I mean, that's a pretty vague thing that I think is true of all heterosexual relationships.
Well, not all that I've had.
Okay.
Fortunately. But this one in particular, that was a big one.
Yeah. Because I always try to see, like, okay, is this something that you could say to many people or is this, like, hyper-specific?
Yeah.
The one about me personally, it was hyper-specific. And... there was like one relationship that was hyper specific.
You know, I really wish the pattern would do a dating app.
Mm-hmm.
Because
oh yeah,
wouldn't that work well? When I was going out with the last person I went on a date with, this really sweet guy that I ended up, I'm not proud to say this, but again, on guys who fuck, I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna be honest. I ended up not getting back. I never got back to him. I guess I ghosted him. I didn't do, like, I meant to get back to him, and then I fucking got all in my head and then forgot to. But I put him in, and I put the other person that I'd went on a date from, what was it, Hinge? And they were like, well, not this, but one of the guys were like, well, they like you. I'm like, all right, fucking fine.
Yeah.
All but it's good to have a heads up.
All my connections are just like, you're going to have a really big impact on this person's life and help them a lot. And I go, okay.
Anything for me? And then it's crickets.
Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, but you keep on searching, boo-boo friend. That's nice.
You want to read that next email, girl?
Hi, Alfie. So this one is called Pete Davidson is Haunting Me in Quarantine.
Girl.
Hi, Christine and Corinne. Okay, hi. I literally don't know how to start this, so I'm just going to start typing. This pandemic has...
That's how you start it.
So you literally do know how to fucking start it. This pandemic has not been bad for me at all.
Why?
EI came through... What is that? Some money? My friends and family are in good health and close by, and I live on the west coast of Canada. Well, that's one thing that's not going well. By the ocean, there's plenty of space to social
not
distance.
Not for long, because the plastics are getting...
One of my favorite things to do is to...
Debbie Downer?
To tell our Canadian comic friends straight to their face that I don't like their country. I said it to Ryan Long the other day, and it was... I said it so sincerely that he was like... He didn't know what to say. And he always knows what to say. And I was
like Canada.
And then I felt bad. And I was like, this, that's...
I love niceness.
You can't have three white claws, girl. No, it's fine. The people are nice. It's not the people that are pop for the problem. Anyway, and I live on the west coast of Canada by the ocean, so there's plenty of space to social distance and still be safely outside in nature. I am single, live alone, and couldn't be happier.
Yeah, girl.
I have a great crew of friends, but truly love hanging out with myself. I would fucking go insane if I was quarantined with anyone.
Me too.
Even if it was one of my close friends. I have not been in a, quote, serious relationship for nearly 5 years. Feels weird writing that, although I'm only 25, so guess I'm not really fake.
Good.
But this is where things get strange. Lately, I have been, quote, pretending that someone has been with me throughout this quarantine.
Jesus?
I think it's called dipping into mental illness.
Or expanding your emotional, physical, and intellectual abilities. Go ahead.
Oh my God, forgive me if I'm shit at explaining this, but basically when I go to cook dinner, I have a shower, watch a show, go for a run, head to the grocery store, fall asleep. It's a, live life, we get it. Yeah. She was like, brush your teeth, wipe your butt. Like,
no. I floss, I wipe my ass, wipe until it's white, the toilet paper.
We're also alive. I truly imagine that I am experiencing whatever I am doing with someone else and that we are in a relationship.
I've done that.
Oh, I've done it too.
Yeah.
With Dane Cook in college. And everyone was like, you okay, girl?
I haven't done that in a while. I got to start doing that.
Oh my God. I have conversations with them. I make jokes with them. I get into make-believe arguments with them. You took it too far. I sit in silence with them. I fuck them. I fall asleep next to them. I act just as if I would if I were dating them, but they're not really there, obviously. And that person is all caps Pete Davidson.
Apparently has a big dick.
This is great promo for Pete because he has a movie coming out.
Oh yeah.
Let me be clear. I'm an incredibly rational, well-adjusted person.
That's what all incredibly rational, well-adjusted people say.
Don't say that when they commit you. I'm not hallucinating, hearing voices, or experiencing anything, quote, problematic. I'm not out in public having full-on conversations with myself.
Oh, I do that.
What I'm experiencing is not debilitating or keeping me up at night. I am mentally stable, and I appreciate that our brains are incredibly complex and are probably being put to the test during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still fucking weird. Also, why Pete Davidson?
Big dick.
I mean, I've been a fan of his since Marc Maron interviewed him on WTF back whenever that was released several years ago. And I think he's incredibly funny, and I'm into SNL and stand-up in general. But it just seems a little random. Nah. I mean, I'd fuck him for sure. Oh, nice of you.
It's not that random.
But I am truly just as lonely as hell. And this is my subconscious telling me to finally choose to get into a relationship once it's legal to touch again. I mean, it was never illegal to touch. Let's please make that very clear. Unless Canada has different laws.
They were
just recommending you don't.
Ugh, laws.
Or am I craving to look after someone and Pete Davidson is a representation of that?
Ooh, maybe.
I've never been the type to, quote, save the people I'm with.
Stop bragging.
I can't stop yawning. I don't know. I just can't do it. And the media makes Pete out to seem like being his girlfriend is a full-time job. Woo, that's true. He's a comic. Whereas this quarantine just turned me into a Pete Davidson obsessed freak. Is Pete Davidson my soulmate?
No.
I'm guessing not. Literally, what does this mean and why Pete? Corinne, I know you are super into the Spice Girls, Victoria Beckham and Bieber, etc., and Christina with Beyonce. Can either of you make sense of this situation or relate to it? Have either of you ever imagined the conversations you'd have with a famous person
every day
who you think you know, but only from seeing them on TV, hearing them on podcasts, etc.? Yeah, I mean, that's just like life. And has it ever been someone you want to fuck? Has Pete Davidson haunted you before too?
No.
How long does it last? Or has this pandemic just fucked with my head too far? Okay, well, that all felt pretty weird to write about, but also sort of cathartic. And who the fuck really cares at this point? Thank you for doing what you do. Your advice, work ethic, and overall mindset has really influenced my confidence for the better shaped who I am proud to be today. A Pete Davidson obsessed nutcase.
Proud
jokes aside, truly thank you. Can't wait to see you both live in like 2 years. Cheers from me and Pete Davidson.
Okay, Pete ain't there. Your imagination is such a beautiful, wonderful thing, and I often love to retreat back to the times where I was little Christina, you know, between 0 and 10, and I just would let my imagination run wild. It was my retreat into myself, and then I realized in my adult life that I could still think whatever I want. And as human beings, I think it's human nature to, people can convince themselves, you know, that they didn't do something that they actually did, or that they,
OJ.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking about. But and they could truly be like, I didn't do it, and you can't get a word edgewise in with that person. And I get that, because the brain is very powerful. And so a lot of times I haven't imagined, oh, I got to do that more. Well, oh man, when I was using my Oculus VR headset, hi Kevin, I would, and there's this like a lot of NASA videos of like, you know, space presentations.
Oh yeah, you made me do one. It was so fun.
Yeah. And, but then like sometimes I'll do them and then like I'll take my shirt off and cause there's people there, but they can't see you, but I pretend like they can. And I feel like I'm in an erotic exhibit.
We are
and I'm
all like an, so weird I'm in our cage. Own spaces.
Oh, I am so weird in my own space because my hair is very curly and it's been in a ponytail and I take the ponytail out, the hair will just stay exactly as the way it is, like as if it's still in the ponytail, but there's no ponytail. That's how I walk around. But yeah, I do get into fantasizing about romance and love with somebody, but I haven't done it with a celebrity just because I don't want to. It's so easy for me to blue ball myself sexually, romantically, and creatively. So
really?
Yeah. So I kind of stay away from that stuff. I feel like I don't allow my brain to go there like this girl is with Pete Davidson, just because I don't want to go down the slope of being obsessed. Like,
right.
I know I think it's possible that I could. So I just would rather not. But yeah,
Knock, who's there? Christina Hutchinson.
But you know what I'm thinking about lately?
What?
Who do I want to be with? What kind of person do I want to be with? What kind of partner do I want to have? I want to be with someone, you know, start very simple with physical attributes, like handsome, boyishly charming.
The book I'm reading said that's very dangerous to do, because then you could miss your soulmate, because your soulmate doesn't look like who you think it's going to be. And you know what? The author is married to a black man and she knew him for many years, and because she grew up in a household with slightly racist parents, she that just wasn't who she was looking for, even though she herself had nothing against dating black men. That's just not, because that's not how she was raised.
So maybe I should think about who was framed.
Yes, and it's so interesting, because as she's getting into it, I'm like, oh, she's about to lead up to the part where she married a black guy, because I could totally tell what was happening.
Oh, right. Right.
And I believe she's a Jewish woman. And she's like, yeah, I knew this guy for years, but I missed him the first time around, because so often we set these aesthetic goals, or we create someone aesthetically in our head, and if they don't look like who we think they look like,
we're not.
That's why I'm
look
actually
in
very
further.
Careful. And I've said before, kind of like jokingly but really not, like I am, like, even though I consider myself to be homosexual, because I've only
homosexual
sorry even though I consider myself to be
exclusive,
no, even though I everyone's like Freudian, I'm like, ugh, I wish even though I consider myself to be heterosexual, I do keep my mind like a little bit open, at least like with women, to like feel the vibe just in case, because I don't want to miss it if there is a connection.
See, well, I've never thought about a future partner in my life. Truly, never.
Really?
My whole life. No, I've never thought about like, who do I want? It's just like, who's here and who attracts me and whatever, for whatever reason. But but one of the things that I thought when I was younger, and that I kind of like, it's like when you had the idea for, well, it's a lesser, I'm comparing it to something that's a little different, but it's like when you had the idea for Guys We Fucked and you kept bringing it up to me. You're like, we got to do that podcast called Guys We Fucked. I really want to do that idea. And it kept sticking with you. Like, I have certain creative ideas that really stick with me and like rise to the top always.
Sure.
And there's one thought about physicality of somebody I've dated. I was like, I'm going to marry a guy who looks like Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid. That was it. That's it. That's it. That's all I got.
Prince Eric. That's your guys. We found. And, that and is the type that
Aladdin,
you like.
And Aladdin. Oh my God.
That's those are your types. Yeah.
Aladdin was. I was so sexually attracted and am to Aladdin. Oh God. But I love boyish charm.
See, I was attracted to like Gaston because he was like a terrible person.
Oh,
and
really?
And he had long hair and he was mean to everyone.
I would not have thought that.
Because I feel like
he's such a prick.
He's a challenge. That's a challenge.
Oh,
I like a challenge.
Mm.
So by the time
interesting,
by the time Gaston was done with Corinne Fisher, Gaston would be a nice, upstanding citizen. You know, he's like, you know how Justin Silver wants to get a pit bull with some behavior problems?
Yeah,
because he's like a trainer.
He's advanced.
He's advanced dog owner. I'm an advanced man owner. So. Give me your problem, man, and I'll fucking whip him into shape for you.
And then I'll break up with you and marry somebody right away.
I mean, basically,
that's been my track record.
That's what I do. Really. I mean, I discussed that with my therapist. I think I talked about it on the podcast, and I was like, I truly feel like I am a Mary Poppins girlfriend, and I feel like every boyfriend I've ever had has, and I think they would agree with me, honestly, has left me a better man then they came into the relationship.
Yeah. Campsite rule.
And she goes, Corinne, like, why do you think that is? And I was like, because I demand the best out of people. And she was like, that's right, you
but
do.
How about you demand somebody that's already at their best?
Oh God.
You don't have to pull it out of them.
I don't
You're not a dentist.
I don't know any of those. Well, I know. Believe me. Yeah. I know. I don't know. The pattern's always like they're like you have very intense but short relationships than many of them, and I was like, well, that's fucking accurate. But to answer this girl's question, so first of all, we can go on tangents of our fucking podcast. What are you going to do? Come and give us COVID. I mean, that would be the highlight. That would be the highlight of my day. Okay, that'd be the highlight. So, first, yes, in college, I truly, truly, and I, in my heart, believed that if Dane Cook just met me, he would definitely fall in love with
me. And when we finally met him, and then he opened for us, and he was like talking backstage with us, and had all this mad respect for us, like, were you wet or not?
No, but that time I was over him.
Oh, okay,
I still loved him. It was still such like an incredible moment in our careers. And I mean, you filmed me introducing him, and I told the audience that I was like, told the audience this story basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't know. I fucking didn't know Dane was listening because usually,
He's about to go on.
But usually, comics that famous, you know, fucking Dave Chappelle when we opened for him was still in the goddamn green room when I called his name.
Yeah, I'm so, like, Dave, she just announced you got to go, and he's like, bye.
And that's what most famous. Of that famous level comics do because they just are so used to it.
In that instance though, Dane was impressed by our following and I think he developed a respect. He's like, oh shit, you guys are actually onto something and that's really cool. I want to talk to you.
Yeah, no, and then I was so embarrassed because I realized Dane had heard the whole thing and then he gave me a big hug.
That's so awesome.
It was a very, oh my God, it was such a full circle moment.
But how often did you think of Dane Cook during this time that you said you
had? I had his picture and this was in this time when you would still like print celebrity pictures off of
and put them in your dorm
online
room.
And they were in my dorm room and I had one posted right next to my bed and I was so intense that for my birthday my roommates Brittany and Katie ironed
Brittany
on a shirt
and fucking Katie
did me an iron on shirt that said I love Dane Cook because it was like so intense and like I don't
did
think
you
I
masturbate to him
No, I never. I didn't really masturbate in college. Also, like, you know, you're sharing a room with someone.
So,
like, nah, that's not. That's just not.
I never masturbated when my roommate was in the room.
I mean, at points I did fucking just have sex with a curtain up with my boyfriend because I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do?
But yeah, well, that's you surviving.
Yeah, but like, I know I remember like actually thinking in my head like, yeah, no, this is like my person, and I just
wow.
I didn't like try to contact him or anything like that.
That's good, but that's a pretzel.
But like, I wouldn't put that past you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no, and I don't think I ever let on how serious I was. And like, I didn't think that we were in a relationship or anything. I just knew in my head because I'm a very determined young individual.
I was like,
Corinne, you have what it takes. You guys would click. You just got to make it happen.
Yeah.
You just got to make it happen.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe that's like the subconscious. I made the subconscious decision at that time to become a stand-up comedian. Who really fucking knows?
Oh, yeah. I also think it had something to do with that. I think probably the Dane Cook half hour. I watched it with my brother. And that was one of the first times I reacted to comedy in a way that I knew it would like change my life for the better. And so there could be some kind of subconscious connection between me confusing something that was like a career-oriented bliss with a romantic bliss.
Yeah,
if we really want to fucking psychoanalyze.
No, well, my therapist told me, well, both of my therapists that I had, the one that I'm working with now, the one I worked with previously that linked me up with the new one because she retired and I miss her, but I love my current one, but I also miss you, Orna.
Ooh, what a great name, Orna.
Oh, and her stoic.
Fuck, yes.
She's a Jew? I don't know. I don't know.
I think she is. Her name's Orna, I'm guessing.
And, well, she had an accent.
Like a Russian, it sounds like a Russian Jew to me. Yeah.
Just, oh God, I loved her. I fucking loved her. Anyway, I talked to both these therapists about my obsession, and I was truly convinced I was in love with this person, with my teacher when I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. But then they both told me that was you. You didn't have a father figure at that time because your parents had separated and you moved, you know, 8 hours away from your dad.
Oh, Jesus.
And that was, that was also you. Understanding that you had come from the most tumultuous year of your entire life before you moved back to Pennsylvania, and you were just giving yourself something to look forward to and something that was healthy because it got you into theater, it got you into sports because this person was a theater director and this person was the track person, and so I was like, I'll just do whatever you do, but it was a perfect distraction that guided me to loving theater. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, that could absolutely be a subconscious thing. I never thought about that until both of those therapists said it.
Yeah. And then additionally, I have a second tier answer to this woman's question. During quarantine, as you know, dumped her on FaceTime.
You were? Oh, sorry, girl.
I laugh about it literally every time I think about it. I keep doing these emotional check-ins with myself to make sure I'm good. I just like didn't process this or whatever, because I really did like that guy. And I go, yeah, I literally was not upset at all about it at any point.
Yeah.
I was upset for like an hour.
Yeah.
That's bad.
You know what? The one guy that I dated at that real estate place.
Yeah.
The hot, or I didn't ever date him. I slept with him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a gorgeous man. Woo! I remember when he ended things with me, because then afterwards he met the girl that he married and had two kids with.
Oh, I know. So this is one of the young Christina stories.
Yes.
Baby Christina. When I first met you, this was one of the first guys we fucked stories before guys we fucked existed.
True. I remember when he like ended things with me because I was getting a little I didn't know how to communicate back then, and I wouldn't have learned 10 years later, but you know, 12 years I started to figure it out. But I remember crying on the sidewalk outside my apartment, and I was so sad. But I also remember going, Christina, you're not actually sad.
Yeah.
Why are you crying? Because you lost? Are you crying because you think you gotta cry? Are you crying because you feel bad for yourself? Or is it number four, a combination of all three of those things? And it mm-hmm. was number four. But it is funny how sometimes we react to things the way that we feel like we should, but then in our hearts we're like, wait a second, I don't actually feel this way.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It was weird because I was like, I I thought it was like positive because I never I was never obsessed with this guy the way I usually get obsessed with people. And I thought it was just like a positive movement in, you know, me as an individual. And right. I was like, well, maybe, it's all these self-help books I've been reading, or all the therapy, or like working on, you know, cognitive behavioral stuff for the OCD. Because I think a lot of the obsession is just like actual OCD.
Yeah.
And again, because my brain is the only brain I have or know, it's hard for me sometimes to decipher a regular thought from an OCD thought. But thanks to everyone on Reddit for discussing my mental health for me. I get Google alerts.
Woo!
Reddit? Really, truly so fucking annoying. I just don't know. I don't know why. And I keep going like I'll even like watch his Instagram story sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not.
Nothing, huh?
Yeah. Like he had video of the protests from his roof. And then I just got mad at him for videotaping them and not fucking being in them.
Yeah. 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 I would be a little disappointed as well.
Be a man. Go down there. But
real men protest for equality, racial equality. I mean, and real men protest for Black Lives Matter.
And I know he feels that way. But anyway, and one of the things I did as a coping mechanism, just so that my mind didn't run wild, was I picked a crush, someone who I had been interested in, because it's like, listen.
And how was this interest, like, how interested in the beginning before you said, I'll to put my time into you? Like,
I mean, listen.
He was okay. He was cute. You'd fuck him. Like,
no matter how long I've been dating you, there's always someone waiting to take the role of Corinne Fisher's boyfriend. So don't think you're that special. Like, there's always someone. And I think everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Most of us have an idea of someone in our space who we would be interested in dating. So I was like, it's like, don't play with me. I got a backup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not like a bad backup. It's like someone I would be like totally happy to date. I think, I don't know. I don't really know him that well. But yeah, it was just like someone who I had noticed, in our business, and, someone I didn't know very much about. So I was like, I'll take the time to get to know you. I'll talk to you. We've been chatting and stuff, and it's been going great. It's truly like, it's been such a something to look forward to. It's been this like quarantine activity, and like
a quarantine crush.
Would it be cool if something happened? Maybe. I don't know. I don't think it actually, like, I was talking to you and I was like, I don't think I've ever actually talked to this person in real life.
Yeah.
And we've like,
yeah. And so you have your own little box that you put them in, and him, you, and it's kind of like, well, maybe that's all it'll ever be, but that's nice.
Yeah. And also, honestly, if nothing ever happens, like, I think he'll probably be a friend.
I have a you know what, you're inspiring me. I had a crush on this guy, or like, I knew I could have a crush on this guy. He lives in Tennessee though.
Whatever. Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't even care anymore. Just give me something. You know what I mean?
I mean, that could be fun. I was always against long distance dating, but then I started doing it and I was like, oh, actually, I kind of like this.
Yeah, because you can have your own personal space, but then when you see each other, it really matters.
And yeah, I didn't feel that stress that so many women feel, like, to make time to see this person.
Yeah.
Because again, I'm reading another book that Christina P recommended, Why Men Love Bitches.
Oh, yes.
And it's like, and it's just like, if you like if you already have plans and he calls last minute, like, you don't go.
Yeah.
Just like, don't go.
Yeah.
Even if you don't, they're like, if you don't have anything to do, don't go. Do you know how many
times that I've had plans and then somebody's, a guy that I want to fuck or have been fucking or have a crush on is like.
Guessing a lot.
Yep. Oh, damn it. I gave it away.
I mean, I just know you, so I know the answer. I mean, even I've fucking done it. If I have actual plans, I don't cancel them.
Right, but right, like, right, right. Yeah.
But I should even go further as to, like, if I don't have plans, even if I really want to go out, I need to just sit at home and do nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes men value you more. The problem is, it's just like, I don't want to play games, but I think
you also need to be chased because that's how a bond starts.
Yeah, and apparently men are just programmed to hunt. And at a certain point,
good thing I got rollerblades.
Yeah, at a certain point,
blade away, bitch, chase me.
I don't want to. You can't fight everything, and like, I don't need to fight nature on top of all the other fights I'm already fighting. You know, there's so many fucking fights to fight. Yeah. At a certain point, someone else can fucking, I'll pass the baton to some other girl who can fight this fight.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I think
we've
fought enough fucking fights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah, especially you. Especially
I'm fucking
you.
Tired.
Yeah. Now, there's this person that I know I could have a big crush on. Ugh. And I don't know whether or not to entertain it or not.
I can't wait to turn off these mics and hear these names.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just one.
Well, this name.
Okay, the last email. The subject line is allergic to fantasizing. Ooh, Hey, Kurt and Christina, I hope you're safe and well. Yeah, you know. It has been so nice to hear your voices and stories throughout this craziness. The haunted barn seems like a blast, and I hope you're having fun with the doggos. Loyal fucker and annoying fan, I truly love you ladies and the content you put out, especially on Luminary. I can really tell that you're much happier and freer with your words and space, and it's wonderful to hear.
Thank you. Everyone can, baby. Everyone who paid that $2.99.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I wanted to share something that I just discovered about myself, though it has been happening since I was a child. I never thought much of it, as it was always happened. I was alone and it never really bothered me. Oh, I'm so curious. I have, I guess you would call it, like a tick or something that causes me to sneeze whenever I have a romantic fantasy while in bed alone. Whoa, so specific. And
oh
that,
my God.
Oh, I have a story about this. If I continue the fantasy, I will continue to sneeze so long as I continue it in my head. A warm sensation comes over me and I sneeze repeatedly. It almost never happens when I masturbate or have sex. It is purely fantasy driven.
Whoa.
Every time I have fantasized about a romantic encounter since I was a child, I have sneezed all the way through it. I finally got curious and Googled the phenomenon, as I suspected this might be happening to other people. I read somewhere long ago that a sneeze was 1/8 of an orgasm, something like that. And I figured there is some kind of wiring connection in the brain between romantic feelings and sneezing. Turns out I was right. There is a condition called honeymoon rhinitis that causes people to sneeze during sexual ideation or intercourse.
Whoa.
My ex did this. Every time he got aroused, he sneezed. And I knew sometimes we were like together and there was like a hot girl walking by or something and he fucking sneezed.
Oh my
like,
God.
You piece of shit.
This is weird. That's like, that's so Raven. When she, like, it's just like a weird.
Oh yeah. Like a tick just, or something.
She just gets her weird visions. That's like, it's almost like a supernatural weird phenomena.
Yeah, yeah, it's so funny. And then I loved using it against him, but in a comical way, when it was really fun.
That's funny.
Okay, I read an article that explained that the sexually charged sneezing can be caused by a variety of factors, and none are known for sure to be the cause. Yeah, we don't, because it's like sex. Who has the time? Me, I have the time. I'm doing nothing else except marching. So actually, I don't have the time. Never mind, I take that back. There is apparently erectile tissue in the nose.
Wow.
Which might be a factor. So that was pretty interesting.
My nose is hard right now, bitches.
Well, yeah, sometimes my nose gets like hard.
I mean.
I thought it was snot though. But I don't know why, but I can't articulate it at this moment, but I do understand the connection between arousal and sneezing.
Well, when the sneeze actually comes out and it pushes out, it feels very satisfying.
Yeah,
for sure.
Anyway, another article claimed that it was not as rare as people would think, and the internet is evidently full of anecdotal evidence to support that sneezing during romantic fantasizing is relatively normal. I just thought I'd share this little strange tidbit of information, as this quarantine is pushing me to overanalyze basically everything.
Yep.
Your comedy brings me so much light and laughter to my life. It truly means the world. Yeah, this is the article about fucking sneezing. Sexual fantasy.
That, I've never heard about that before. As far as the overanalyzing goes, just for all our listeners, like if you're overanalyzing things like romantic relationships, what's your purpose in life? You're going to get married. You're gonna
how
have
do
kids.
I react to this?
My therapist said basically every one of her clients is having those thoughts right now.
Yeah.
So you're not the only one. Try and stop me, Chad.
I'm the only one that chads a chaddy chaddy.
Mine was
chad.
A parody because I said you're not the only
I'm
one.
I'm the zero. Anything goes. Yeah, I think
it's covered under parody.
How about this, Chad, an original? I haven't had sex in 27 years. I haven't had sex in 27 years. I'm only 32. Some weird things happened in my past. That was completely improvised, guys. Thank you. That wasn't some Freudian slip. I was not sexually violated.
That was a song about Christina.
Although maybe I was, and now this is you and me finding out for the first time.
Oh my God.
Who knows? We'll be judged by how I sleep this evening.
Christina Hutchinson lost her virginity at the age of 5.
Not consensual.
Debuts it on Guys We Fuck podcast, and things
swear
got
to God,
weird.
You know, and you and I both talked about this. Like, oh, fuck, is there some repressed memory of sexual abuse that I don't know about?
Yeah.
Like, I just fear that. I fear that because I've heard all the stories.
Yeah.
And I still fear it. That hasn't gone away. Just FYI, if you were wondering, has it gone away?
Well, I mean, at this point, I just don't want to know. I want to repress that until...
Yeah, let's keep it repressed.
Until the end of time.
Yeah, repression is bliss, as they say.
Repress.
Isn't that a Gandhi quote?
Repress, repress.
No, it's not.
But we were talking about that, I think, on another episode about whether it's always healthy to tap into those repressed things. And there are instances when it is not.
Right. And my therapist, I think the last session we had together, she was like, I don't want to re-traumatize you with things. And you had brought that up. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
That's interesting that you say that. I don't want you to re-traumatize me either. I'm good.
I think at a certain point, and I can, you can compare this to like the experience you have with psychedelics, with kind of like looking within. Like at a certain point with therapy and childhood trauma and stuff, I think there's like, you've done enough digging.
Yes. And I would love to just remind every single person out there, especially because the times that we's in, and if you're, whether it's in regards to being met with your own internal demons at this time, or figuring yourself out, or whatever. I just feel like it's so important, no matter how, if you're going within and you're reading books like Corinne and I are doing, or you're reading news articles like Corinne and I are doing, you're having fights with people in the comments section like Corinne and I are doing. It's so important for you to take many moments in your day, and every person listening to this, it is so important to take multiple moments throughout your day, as many times as you can remember, to just go, I'm breathing in, and I'm breathing out, and just be in connection with your body, and then do something stupid. And I'm not talking about stupid, like irresponsible. I'm talking about silly and fun and fantastical that caters to your inner child, because we all have one. And that it's, whether it's coloring a page in a coloring book, even if it's for 5 fucking minutes, or going outside and looking at, this is one thing that I've been doing lately before the race wars start, or the war between races, police officers at now times, all
so police officers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And humans who care about equality and Black Lives Matter, is when I'm outside of my apartment building smoking a cigarette, and I do this many times on a very stressful day. I'll smoke during the day, and I'll go, I'm too heated up. My energy is all over the place. I'm vibrating to the ceilings. Okay. And I'll look, and I notice it when I'm outside smoking, and I'll look around, and there's all these trees that are lining the street that I live on, and all these bushes that are in the restaurant that's by me. And I'll notice the wind blowing through the branches and mm-hmm. the green leaves just blowing in the wind. And I'll just suddenly feel very connected to this earth. And I'll suddenly feel back inside of my body. And I'll remember that no matter what, you always have your breath. Unless you're someone who's been brutally murdered by the fucking police. I didn't mean to take it there.
I was going to say, I was like, oh.
People who
that
are,
didn't relax me at all,
nope,
Christina.
Sorry. See, that this is
me
not.
Right, that amped me right
and,
up.
Sorry. Yeah, nope. And I'm not going to ask you to edit that out, Mike, because that's... But what I mean is...
Hell on earth. Hell on earth. That's another original Chad.
You can always take a moment for you and be in your own body and concentrate on breathing in and breathing out.
Unless that moment is taken from you by a police officer.
Absolutely. And if that is, I will fucking march until the day I fucking die for your equality. And I mean that. But yeah, just remembering to focus on something silly, because I was watching that Shia LaBeouf movie about the childhood trauma. It was called Honey,
oh, yeah.
Not American Honey. That's also a Shia LaBeouf movie.
He has two Honey titled movies.
Honey. Oh my God.
I only know. I was like,
I gotta look it up.
Look it up, baby.
Shia LaBeouf, Honey.
Because all I want to say is boo boo, and
I know. Honey Boy.
Oh, Honey Boy.
Honey Boy. And I couldn't watch the rest. I couldn't watch it. It was triggering. It was not. I couldn't do it. And
what's it about?
It's about Shia LaBeouf's life and him growing up with his father was extreme, an alcoholic and abusive and emotionally manipulated and manipulative and just so immature, and he was have to be the father of his own father, and it's very triggering.
His dad's trying to be a comic. Did you hear that? His dad showed up at a at a comedy club, a pretty famous one on the West Coast, and tried to get up at an open mic. And
stop!
He tries.
Are
to get
you
up,
serious?
Yeah, no. He tries to get up at an open mic, and he said to the person running the open mic, "I'm Shia LaBeouf's dad," and everyone laughed at him.
Okay, well, that's, oh boy, all right, this world, you know what I mean? But anyway, one of the things that I got from that movie that I will take with me, I personally could not finish that movie. Was when Shia LaBeouf's, the young Shia LaBeouf's character was in therapy. Well, he's like a teenage version of himself. And he, I guess he was in rehab, and but then one of the therapists he was working with made him identify things in the room when he was getting really heated and really the tornado in his head was just brewing, and it was a category 5. And his therapist like said whatever the phrase was that triggered it, he was to name physical objects in the room, and I started doing that. So whenever I feel myself getting so overwhelmed with anxiety or sadness or depression or rage or anger or fear, I go couch, television, lamp, and it brings me right back into the room in a way that nothing in this world, no tool that anybody has ever given me has done. So I would also like to throw that out there.
I think my emotions might be broken. I don't feel like I feel things.
We've been feeling all fucking. Well, yeah, but no. I think that
I've never been like lost in. You know, I get fucking get fucking angry.
Yeah, but like, you've never. Yeah, but your nervous system was never taken to the test as a child.
Right,
your nervous
exactly.
system was used how it should have been used, and your nervous system had to do duties that a child's nervous system had to do, and it didn't have to overextend.
So, is there in your opinion the capability that it could be taken there, or do I have to be like in an abusive situation? So it's like
If you have not experienced, one of the things that I've experienced that contributes to this feeling is no one ever soothed me as a child.
Right.
No one ever soothed me. So I didn't know how to soothe myself. And so my nervous system was in fight or flight mode often. Mm-hmm. And that meant really scientifically that like I thought I was going to die a lot.
Sure.
Like, but something when I say I thought I was going to die, it's all this deep, deep subconscious of the parent that I have that I'm relying on can't take care of me right now. I'm going to die if I don't put on a show or clean the house so mommy will smile or whatever.
Right.
So no, I don't think it's possible for you to feel those feelings yeah. because your nervous system as a child was never put to the test and overextended.
Yeah, because I'm like, I do see, I mean, it's also like we work with comics, so that's not really a good like leveled ground to compare to, but like I see a lot of people kind of experiencing emotions or a level, because you know how like something like bad will happen and I'll just react like very like almost like calmer than
like when I was about to drive us off a cliff,
right?
And, you're Christina, you're drive
and it's not like
cliff.
I was faking it. I was truly just like, well, me making a big emotional thing is not.
You have a healthy nervous
going
system.
Going to help.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know,
so
it's
people,
just interesting.
People whose nervous system has been overactive since they were a kid is, and it's so hard to even identify that to begin with. And then people, you just have these behavioral issues, and your friends and your colleagues are like, you're fucking weird. And then you feel even worse about it.
Right.
But no, I actually think that that's normal, because it's better to react calmly when something's going down. Mm. But like, I do have that ability profoundly for strangers, for people who aren't me.
Right.
I have that ability. So someone could be in a terrible crisis, bleeding on the street. Their brains could be leaking out of their head. And I'll figure it out.
Let's fucking do it.
I'll be the one. I've been the one to call 911 on somebody that is severely injured and there's just a crowd around them so many times in my life.
People are the worst at helping,
But maybe that's because my nervous system was so overactive that I'm like, oh, I could step in for the stranger. I'm in.
There's no personal connection beyond just humanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Because it's not like I don't feel like emotions very deeply. Like I feel emotions very deeply, but they're just not, I don't show them.
Yes.
Is that.
Well, in a true like Buddhist warrior in all these books that I read, and they're a lot of them are really centered around like.
You know me, Buddhist warrior.
Not me. I'm trying to be. That's why I'm reading these books.
But it's
a true warrior doesn't withhold emotion, doesn't shove down emotion, but they just sit with it. Mm-hmm. And they process it and they give themselves time. So if someone was screaming in your face, for example, you go, okay, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna process what you did and I'm gonna figure out how I would like to react. That is a healthy nervous system.
That's interesting, because I think specifically speaking of the pattern, they use the word warrior in describing. I think they said you have a warrior like, but you know, you are warrior like. But it wasn't like in physical battle, obviously.
No,
obviously that's not. But that's not how they intended it. It's very interesting.
Yeah,
interesting,
guys. Hmm. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, hope this. I mean, we only mentioned it a couple times.
What?
The state of the world.
Oh,
we're not gonna.
I don't know if you guys know, but shit's going down.
Right.
Oh, and there was one. I'm gonna read a quote from a book. When Things Fall Apart is one of my favorite books.
Oh yeah,
that a friend had recommended to me. And this is a quote: Pema Chodron, Pema. It's P-E-M. I'm just going to spell it just in case I'm not pronouncing it correctly. P-E-M-A. Last name is C-H-O-D-R-O-N. Nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know.
Ooh. And then we just list man's names.
I love you guys. Be good to one another.
I love most of you. I had to say that honestly.
I love you blindly, and that's my problem. And that's us in a nutshell.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. Oh yeah, this is on Luminary, so I probably love you guys more. I mean, I do. You fucking made an effort.
Yeah, you
showed us you care. That's right. We'll suck your dick. Anyway, this has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast bonus episode exclusively on Luminary. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary Media, created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson, edited by Mike Coscarelli, associate producer Emily Rogers, PR intern Molly Becker. You in the regular breed, like baby, what the hell? Wait, that ass been clapping, never look up with no one else. Girl, the superstar, you going for, I hope you know it well. That good aroma smell, got me functioning different. I ain't moving precise, trying to keep my composure, but fumbling from the fight. I had to get it right, let's go another couple of rounds until daylight. I grab my little shorty tie from a ponytail, hitting from the back, a little baby, you balance too well. Wait, that ass be poking through the sheets, I know very well. You in the regular breed, like baby, what the hell? Wait, that ass be clapping, never look up with no one else. Girl, a superstar, you going for, I hope you know it well. Knee deep in your ocean, I'm lost in your sea. Taken away by ways of euphoria, I'm tripping just knowing ya. It's every second that I'm spending rowing the boat with ya.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.